Jesus Christ was with his disciples in the town of Bethabara. A messenger arrived with a message from Mary and Martha. This story is found in John 11. The message said, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Christ loved these sisters, and he loved their brother Lazarus as well. He was his friend. But after waiting another 2 days, which was all really a part of the plan, Jesus told his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." But the disciples didn't realize that to God and Jesus Christ, death was like sleep. It was temporary. So he said plainly to them, "Lazarus is dead." The messenger had already traveled from Bethabara to Bethany, which was about 30 miles, about a day's journey. And then Christ waited another 2 days, and then he himself travels back there. So by the time he arrives in John 11, verse 17, Lazarus has already been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. Martha goes out to meet Jesus, and it says in verse 21 of John 11, it says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now, interesting, see what Martha says next. She shows an amazing understanding of God's plan, what this day pictures. Martha got it. She said back to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She got it. But Jesus Christ said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Martha goes away. Mary then comes to Christ, and she's weeping for her dead brother. And in verse 36, which is actually the shortest verse in the Bible, it simply says, "Jesus wept. Tears rolled down Christ's face." I think this is an incredibly important verse. Christ was human. He felt human emotions. He rejoiced with those who rejoiced, and he wept with those who wept. Death is terrible. It's an enemy. It entered this world because of sin, and here his beloved friend had succumbed to it. So the story progresses. Christ comes to the tomb. He has the stone removed. And after praying out loud, it says, for the benefit of all those that were listening, he cried out with a loud voice and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Ever wonder what it will be like for people to wake up out of death? I wonder what that's going to be like, how it's going to feel. My oldest daughter recently found out she's going to have to get put under anesthesia and get her wisdom teeth taken out. How many of you have ever gone through a procedure where you have to be put under so you don't feel anything going on during that procedure? Maybe you had your wisdom teeth taken out a few years ago when I had back surgery and I had to get put under for that. When I was 18, I had my wisdom teeth. It may be weird to say, but I was telling my daughter, I love to be put under. I know there's a whole lot happening to you while you're under, but to me, it feels like the best sleep ever. You're completely out. There's no noises. There's no thoughts. There's no tossing and turning. You're just out. Nothing. It's awesome. But then out of that blackness, that nothingness, you hear someone calling your name. "Troy, wake up. Open your eyes." And all of a sudden, consciousness begins to come back. You're not aware of any passage of time. You're not aware of anything that's happened to you while you're out. And you start to come to. You're not startled. It's peaceful, or at least it is to me. Lazarus was out. He had no thoughts, no dreams, nothing. And then the sound of Jesus Christ's voice crying out to him woke him out of death. And Lazarus lived. He was resurrected. A power that Barnes says the ancient pagans declared to be even beyond the power of God. But it wasn't. Jesus told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, our Savior was not talking about resurrecting people back to a physical, decaying life, but to incredible, everlasting life that this day celebrates. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13 says, But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself, not a delegate, Jesus Christ came to Lazarus, and he will not delegate this important, long-anticipated moment. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, maybe all these people will hear their name. Ed, come forth. Dolores, come forth. Troy, come forth. This is an awesome, great, exciting day. It's not a sad day. David also looked forward to this day. Sorry, give me one quick moment here. David also looked forward to this exciting day. Oh, I lost a page of notes. That's why I was like, this isn't where we go next. All right, pardon me there. It said here that we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Remember in John 11, verse 26, it said, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I think getting your notes out of order is probably the scariest thing that could ever happen to a speaker. First, let's go now to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. This is a memory scripture for many. This says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. How exciting is this day? For everyone who has ever lost a beloved first fruit to death, and for all of us, it can be encouraging for all of us that will one day face death ourselves. I want us to take a moment to let this sink in, to think about the people that we love, those people that were first fruits, that are dead and waiting what this day pictures. I think sometimes we read over things and we just don't let the realness and the incredibleness of this impact us. To allow this to sink in, how exciting it will be for those people to hear Jesus Christ's voice call to them. My wife's grandpa Jack is waiting this day. Her great-grandmother Manila Honey Gambino is awaiting this day. Some of you have lost spouses, baptized children, parents that are waiting this day. I'm trying to lock on to the excitement, not the sadness, because we miss those people. I am known for getting a little emotional up here, so I'm trying not to let myself go there, because it is emotional. These things are so exciting. They touch our hearts, and it should be both exciting and I think at times emotional. There's been many friends that I've lost in the church over the years, some prematurely to, like, accidents. Some that were, like, grandparents to Cindy and I. We had a couple that had a house over in Reading that when we first got married, they became like grandparents to us in the church. And we'd go over and we'd play cards with them often on Saturday nights, and we'd laugh. And they're both waiting this day. It's a great, exciting day. David looked forward to this in Psalm 17, verse 15. Psalm 17, verse 15, he said, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." David will hear his voice called to wake up. This life was not what David sought. He knew he would awake from the sleep of death into the very likeness of the family of God. This day is of amazing excitement. Think about your faithful loved ones who will be waking up, not to bodies that hurt, not to bodies that have memory problems, not to bodies that are frail, but to eternal, incorruptible, amazing spirit bodies in the very likeness of God in Jesus Christ. I can't wait for Jesus to cry out and tell those people, "It's time to wake up." And so on this day is amazing and exciting, and it's just tremendous. Words can't express how awesome this day will be. Please turn to Romans 13 and verse 11. On the other hand, it's a sobering day for all of us who are still living today. Because it's important to keep in mind that in a spiritual sense, God is telling us to wake up right now. In Romans 13, 11, after telling us that we need to be loving people, it says in verse 11, Romans 13, "And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." We are to every day to be putting on everything that equips us to be children of the light, to become like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to overcome, to rise above. No more excuses. This day of trumpet reminds us that there is little time left. The night is far spent. If we would turn to Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, I'll just quote two verses there real quick, verse 6 and verse 8. It says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation." Again, this connection with waking up and through God's strength, his power, through his tools, to overcome and live with sobriety. Do you want to wake up out of sleep, out of a spiritual slumber? Then go to God and ask earnestly, "Help us to wake up out of any spiritual slumber that we might still be in, to be able to wake up and live each day with sobriety of what this amazing calling should remind us of." Use this Feast of Trumpets to wake up out of any spiritual slumber, to any obliviousness, to realize these times that we're living in, and to ask God to bring us to a state of spiritual alertness. For all those we love who sleep in the Lord, those first faithful first fruits, what a great, amazing, exciting day this is and will be. The next amazing step in God's plan. A day when they will be told to wake up and be changed into the very likeness of God. Let's make sure to take time today to visualize that. For all of us here, let's also use it as a reminder to make sure we're awake, that we wake up, to take stock of where we need to be putting forth more effort, to pray more earnestly, to know God's word more fully, to live more faithfully, to serve more passionately. So whether we live or die, we too will be changed in a twinkling of an eye into a spirit being in the family of God.